Well, I am excited about the Word this morning. Are you excited about the Word?
Amen.
Amen. Well, how many of y'all like to go out to eat? Eating is, I'm pretty sure it is one of my favorite things to do. I love eating. And I've been decreasing it, but I still love it. And we went to, one of my favorite places to go is to Stobie's in Russellville. I love that place. And we had a little older couple that Frank knows, and we were driving up there with them. And the lady was asking me how it was that I get my messages. I said, well, you know, I think a lot of people think that pastors just jump on the computer and they get one and they're good with it. I said, but you know, I don't do that, and I can't speak for other pastors. I said, but I pray and I meditate, and usually throughout the course of a week, I know what God wants to minister. And that is how I get my messages. Usually by Saturday night, I know what I'm going to minister on because God has put it inside of there, and it just comes to me. It just flows right on out to paper. Well, that wasn't happening yesterday. I told Frank, I said, the easiest way I can describe this to you is I'm having writer's block at this moment. And I was being mean to the dogs. I was being mean to Frank. I was being mean to the air. I was being mean to anybody that was around. I was not happy. I was getting stressed. And I was thinking, oh, and my skin just began to crawl. And I was just moody. I didn't get a nap. And I was moody. How many of you know when you're moody? How many? Yeah, Mom does. She told Frank when we got married, now, Kelly, when she gets that way, Frank, she's either hungry or she's tired. You need to make sure she gets a nap and something to eat because she's going to be bad if you don't. And that's how I've been since I was a little girl. If I'm mad or if I'm hungry or something, this just ain't going to be good for nobody. I'm not a good hungry person. So anyways, I thought I'm going to take a shower, and I'm not going to get out of that shower till I know what I'm preaching. Them dogs just were barking. And they were getting on my last nerve. And I told all of them. There's four of them. Some of them were outside. Lulu, of course, was in her recliner. And I said, Lulu, if you don't shut up, me and you are going to get on the boat, and we're going to take a lake trip, and you ain't coming back. She looked at me like I was terrible. Now, I ain't going to do that to Lulu, but I was thinking, this one in particular is driving me nuts. So I got in there in that shower, and I just, what Angel used to say in Celebrate Recovery, I just got in the moment, and I just got my hair going, and I got all them soap suds, and God began to put a message inside of me, and it really hits home with me, and I pray I can get through it without having an emotional moment, but I want to minister to you this morning on managing your expectations. Managing your expectations. Manage them of yourself. Manage your expectations that you have of others. Manage your expectations of what you have in your life. And so many times we are disappointed and we're hurt. And at the root of that disappointment and hurt is an expectation that was not met. Amen. When you think about what somebody, that you're mad at somebody, well, you're mad at them because they did something you didn't expect, or they didn't do something that you expected them to do. When you get upset in your life, a lot of times it's because you think, well, my life is somewhere where I never thought that it would be. There was an expectation there, and it wasn't met. And one of the most hurtful, harmful things for people is when we walk around and we haven't managed our expectations. And I want to tell you this morning that you're either going to manage your expectations or your expectations are going to manage you. They're going to run your life. So you got to get those things under control. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 20. Your joy and your wholeness depend on whether or not our happiness and wholeness will depend on whether or not our expectations are living up to what we thought things or people should be. That's when you know you've got a problem with your expectations. If you get all upset with people every time they don't do something that you think that they ought to, you need to manage your expectations. Because when have they ever done something that you thought? You ever notice that about people? Every time I think I can't get surprised, I'm surprised about something. You ever feel like that? I always say, I don't think anybody else could surprise me. And then I'll blink and somebody has shocked me to no end. Sometimes it's myself. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, one of the first areas of expectation that I want to minister to you on is the expectation that we have of others. And we got to manage that. One of the things that's going to help you to manage it is to realize what you're dealing with. How many of you understand that what you're dealing with is people? You're dealing with people. So when you want to expect something of them and they don't live up, Barbara, we're dealing with very flawed people. How many of you think that you're flawed? We're full of issues, we're full of problems, and we're flawed people. Now, in my life, I've expected things of others, and they were unrealistic. Do you notice when you're expecting something of someone and that expectation is unrealistic? I read a statistic a while back and they asked like 20 people, what is your expectation of a pastor? And how many hours do you think that a pastor should work? And Aunt Patty, they wrote down what everybody said and they had them at that pastor working more hours than there actually was in a week. And that's what people expect. Now, I'm just a pastor. We expect things out of our kids as teachers, our neighbors, our spouses, all sorts of things. And I'm not saying that expectation isn't right. And I'm not saying that expectation isn't necessary. It is. But when you get to having unrealistic expectations of people that they could never live up to, you're going to set yourself up for heartache. They say that William Shakespeare said that at the root, that expectation is at the root of all heartache. Expectation is. We need to know when we're being too hard on people and we're expecting too much. And I want to put something inside of you that God has put inside of me, and he has to bring it out almost on a daily basis. You cannot expect you out of everybody else. I must say that one more time. You cannot expect you out of everybody else. Because if you do, you're going to be a very upset, depressed person. Because look here, Tyranny, not everybody is as good as you are, honey. Now that's just the truth. And some of the most sweetest people are the most broken people because, Angel, they're expecting themselves out of everybody and everybody's been a disappointment to them. You ever said to yourself, well, I would never do that? You're right. You probably never would. But guess what? They done did it to you. You've got to manage that expectation that's sitting there thinking that everybody's going to act just like you. Everybody's going to have the same morals that you have. Everybody's going to have the same amount of integrity that you have. Guess what? They're not. For some of us, that's a good thing. For some of us, that's a bad thing. Very early in my pastor years, when I listen to some of my first messages, I don't know whether to laugh or to be embarrassed because I was so angry. I don't know how any of y'all stayed through that because I was one ticked off girl. I was angry for like the first 2 years of my pastorship. And when I preached mad. I had people going, oh my God, does she ever take a break? No. I was so irritated and on edge and aggravated that I had to preach through that. I've preached through grief, heartache, mourning, depression. So you don't get to run away from it when you're the pastor. You got to work through it. I've had messages where I would say, you know what, I'm going to cry all the way through this message, and that's just going to be how it is today, and I'm sorry. But you know what, Patty, that got me to a sense where, you know what, I let the devil know, we're going to get this message going. If I got to crawl my way through it, we're going to preach the word. But we need to manage the expectation that we have of others, because what we've got to know, that's my godson. I'm going to give him a moment. He's going to need one. That child has got the best set of lungs on him. Let me tell you, we're still giving him a moment. Now, look here. If you're afraid that your kid is going to scream in church, they're going to. If you're afraid that they're going to run in church and embarrass you, guess what? They're probably going to. And if you're somebody that don't like kids, you need to get that part of you saved. Amen? Because look here. We're going to grow this church. Who's the next one going to have a baby? It ain't going to be me. You'd be surprised how many people ask that to me and Frank, and I'm sitting here going, that's the dumbest question I've heard in a long time. That obviously ain't happening. All right. Managing our expectations, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. There is not somebody that is perfect and right all the time. So when we want to expect unrealistic things out of people, we need to understand what we're dealing with. And here's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the same thing that God deals with us on a daily basis. I have been more upset at unrealistic expectations than I probably have any other thing. Because there's something in me that thinks that I set the bar for how everybody should be. And I don't. And y'all don't either. And when somebody disappoints you, what you need to realize is that many, many times they didn't set out in their heart to be a disappointment to you. I've had people be a disappointment to me, and I've been a disappointment to people. So I've walked in both of those lanes. And what I can say is when I have been a disappointment, I did not set out to disappoint. But I was going through my own life. See, the word says work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And somewhere in the middle of Miss Jill, me working those things out, I'm positive that through the years I've been a disappointment. But I did not set out to be that. And when people disappoint us, or when we've set expectations of them too high and they've disappointed us, what you should pour on that situation more than judgment, the silent treatment, more than anything else, you should pour on grace. We should pour on grace, because the grace of God can wash over everything. 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 So there is not one righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. So many times we're worked up over people. We need to understand they're people just like us. They're people just like us. People just like us. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 23. For all, y'all say all, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. All of us have. You know, we're hard on people at times. Many times we have unrealistic expectations. And what I've noticed, and I've noticed this about myself, and I'm honest enough that I'll tell it, I will have an unrealistic expectation of somebody, Bobby. And the problem with that is that I don't know everything that's going on in everybody's life. There have been times where I was disappointed or hurt, let down, offended even at somebody or something, only later to find out they were going through something that I had no idea about, and it kept them from living up to the expectation that I had for them. We have to really manage expectation, because God doesn't want you walking around the earth, inhabiting this earth as broken people. And one of the things that will break you down more than anything else is a broken heart, because you feel let down all the time. Amen? Now I'm going to minister out of my own life, because I don't have anything else to minister out of. I've been very hard on people. I can tell you that. In my past years, I've been very hard on people because I expected me out of everybody. I would say, well, you know, I don't understand why so-and-so won't come to church. That's probably why their life is all messed up, because they won't honor God. And that's something that people jump to a lot. What I should have been saying is, God, help that person. Lord, even more than helping them, help me, because I'm being a religious jerk. Amen? See, I can preach this stuff because I've lived both sides of it. I can also tell you, and I have no doubt that there are people in this room under the sound of my voice, maybe you're on Facebook or something, you've walked the other side of this. Maybe you've disappointed people because you couldn't live up to what they had in mind for you. I'm living that right now. There are people that will not even speak to me in this moment because of whatever they think that I've done so wrong. And you know what? Here's the truth of the matter. I did not set out to disappoint them, but Angel, in the middle of working out all of my own problems, there were things that I had to do. And guess what? God has backed me. Was I right in every single thing? No. Did I disappoint them because they had an expectation of me? Yes. Yesterday, I was sitting here and I was frustrated with this message, and I was just frustrated. And I just began to cry because I was thinking about people that I love very much that will not even speak to me. And I just began to weep, and I said, God, help me to live down this disappointment that I've caused them to have of me. Because God, I miss these people in my life. We have to manage our expectations. And here's the key. If you're trying to live down the fact that you've disappointed somebody, here's one of the things that you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to do it well. Because there's only one way to do it, or it's going to eat you up. Miss Sherry, when somebody's disappointed in you, you know what I've done? Exactly what David did with Saul. There's something about hot-blooded Italian women where we want to be like defending ourselves all the time and saying, well, that dirty, rotten jerk, how many times was I there for them? How many times did I never leave them and they were struggling? And then we want to do that tit-for-tat thing. Look here, you can't do tit-for-tat and be blessed. I'm just telling you, you can't. You can't play that game. What I've had to do is I've had to say, you know what, God? You can judge between them and I. God, you're the only one that can judge fairly. You can judge. But God, for right now, in this season of my life, I'm going to work through this, and God, you help them work through that. And so, God, right now, what I'm choosing to do with this situation is I'm going to take it out of that heart of hearts that's hurting me, and I'm going to put it on the shelf, God, and I'm going to let you deal with it. God, as long as it takes, God, That's how long it takes. Lord, if they don't want to speak to me for 5 years, then it's going to be 5 years. God, give us all the grace to come right back together and to be better people for it. Because look here, you can't get the kind of blessing that you want hating people's guts because they're mad at you for being a disappointment. You also can't hate people for not living up to what you thought that they should be. How many of you realize how difficult life is? Life is very hard. Life is difficult. We have to manage those expectations. We have to manage them. I've got an Aunt Kathy, and she gives the best advice. And she's always told me this. She would say, Kelly, manage your expectations. Manage them. Because if not, they're going to manage you. You don't want anybody managing you but the living God. Not your emotion, not your offenses, not your disappointment, not your judgments, nothing. God's the only one that you want managing you. So we got to set these expectations in the correct balance, or they'll eat you up. So Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. When we're hurt by others, or we've hurt others, we need to realize we're dealing with people. We're dealing with people. We're not dealing with perfect people. We're dealing with people, and they're just like us. Amen? The next thing I'm going to minister about expectations is expectations of our life. If there was one thing I could say that I have heard probably more than anything else in the ministry, it is this right here. People are broken and their lives are broken. Their families many times are broken. And people say, Pastor Kelly, I cannot get over what I feel like my life should have been at this point. And I'm going to minister to you this right here. In the Beatitudes of Matthew, it said, blessed are those who mourn. And many times, and able to be able to move on in your life, you have to mourn over the idea of what you thought your life was going to be. How many of you had some expectations of your life when you were younger, or even now? How many of you, you've come to realize some of them things got messed up? How many of you, there's a part of you that messed up kind of left you broken? There were things that happened we didn't ever think would happen. And I've said this before when I was younger, oh, that could never happen to me. I wouldn't let it happen. Guess what? It happened. Sometimes we have to grieve over the idea that we thought that we had about how our life should be. And I want to tell you this. If you'll grieve over that thing and you'll let that thing go, God has something better than what you thought. God has something better than what you even thought that you wanted so badly. But you can't accept what God has if you're still holding on to what you think you lost. I'm going to say that one more time. You can't receive that blessing from God while holding on to what you think that you lost. There's a story that Beth Moore tells, and I love it, and it's this right here. Her husband, I believe, was a professional ball player. And I want to say football, but I'm not positive. But he was a professional ball player. And they went to state, and they won, and they get them big old rings that are about as big as their heads. Well, throughout the course, they moved homes. And they got to their new home, and he realized that he lost his state championship ring. And it bothered him for years. So he finally had a guy working on landscaping for him and Beth Moore. And he said, he got the guy over there, and he said, hey, I lost my state championship ring, and it means so much to me. If you can find that, I'll give you da-da-da-da-da amount of money. And I don't remember what the amount of money, but it was a lot of money. Well, he'd been looking for that ring for years. That other guy found his ring. And he brought it to the guy and he says, I found your ring. And you know what he wanted? He wanted that money. Then Beth said, then my husband started stuttering and acted like he was so offended because the guy wanted his money that it, all of a sudden that ring that meant so much to him didn't mean near as much as the money he was going to have to get his ring back. Now, sometimes we're sitting here and something about our expectation in our life got all jacked up, as life does. How many of you know life just gets jacked up? It does. And we don't expect it. Sometimes it gets all messed up. Now, God's the only one that can fix it when it gets all messed up. But we get these expectations about how we thought our life should be. And we'll crybaby around about that. And all the while, God's saying, you know what? That thing really wasn't even worth what you thought. The guy wanted to keep his money. All of a sudden, that ring that he thought meant so much didn't mean near as much as the value he was going to have to pay that guy to give his ring back. Sometimes we're grieving over something about our life, and it didn't amount to a hill of beans in the long run. It wasn't good for us. It wasn't right for us. But we're grieving it, and then that grief is holding us back from getting the thing that God really has for us. Manage your expectations of your life. Because what God does not want you to do is to walk around with sadness and depression and grief all the time. Is there a season for mourning? Absolutely. The Bible talks about it. There's also a season to get up and dust your feet off and move on with your life. You can't do it when you're still grieving over that stuff that happened. Look here, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. Manage the expectation. You know how you do it when you get to a place in your life that you didn't think you'd be? You say, you know what? I'm in a place right now that I never thought I would be, and God, only you can make it up. God, I'm going to spend every day that I have thanking you for making it up. God, in Jesus' name, I woke up and it's Monday morning. I thank you for managing this for me. God, I'm not going to worry and stress about this anymore. God, I'm not going to live in the past. God, today I choose what you have for me. God, what you have for me is wholeness and joy. So, God, I'm going to leave behind what I think that I've lost, and I'm going to go forward to what you've really got for me. You got to manage that expectation, or it's going to manage you. Go with me now to John chapter 16. We're going to look in verse 33. And right now I'm talking about managing the expectations of your life. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. See, you're not going to be able to have peace in any person. I just hate to tell you that. I hate to tell you it, but it's the truth, so I'm going to tell it to you with great joy. You ain't going to be able to have peace in another human being 24/7. Much as I love Frank, I'm not over here going, in Frank, I'm going to have peace. No, I ain't. Because the moment he wants that channel hopper to watch something I don't want to watch, we're not going to have any peace. Glory to God. All right? And most of the time, he lets me have it. But there's every once in a while, he gets tired of that stuff. I won't even tell you what I watch because you'd all just be like, oh, my God, she's going to hell. It's not nothing bad. Don't get offended. How many of you think you're a real person? Okay, great, because you're going to a real church, and I just tell it like it is. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. So here's Jesus, and he's saying, I'm telling you this, and I'm going to tell it to you ahead of time because I want you to have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have some trouble. It's not all going to be trouble, but there are times where you're going to have some trouble. And he's telling us this. This is how much he loves us. Anybody ever give you a heads up in life and you're like, oh, I'm glad they gave me a heads up so I wasn't totally shocked? This is what he's doing. I'm going to tell you these things so that in me you can have peace. In this world that you're living in, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. You're going to have some expectations that aren't met. You're going to have things in your life happen that you didn't expect. You're going to have heartache that you didn't want. And I'm telling you this ahead of time so that when it happens, you can have some peace. And here's what he says he's going to do about it. But take heart. Take heart. You know, there are times in your life you literally have to take heart because they're so raw and they're so bad and they're so gut-wrenching and they're so heartbreaking. You ever went through some of them things and you literally have to take your heart and get it up off the floor and get all the pieces of it and just say, oh my God. Take heart. Take heart. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Look here. He said, greater things than you've seen me do, that's what you're going to do. Greater things. Now, if he says he's an overcomer, guess what that makes us? An overcomer. God's telling you, have peace. If your life's in a place you didn't expect, have peace. If you're having trouble moving on, have peace. I've overcome all those things. That makes you, just by inheritance, an overcomer. In me, you can have peace. Let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. I'm going to talk about your heart for a little bit. People's hearts get so messed up. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So we just got out of a verse that says, take heart. You're going to have trouble. Take heart. Get your heart. Get it in check. Now we're in a place where it says, don't let your heart get troubled. Don't let it be troubled. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. Sometimes you get into a storm in your life and it seems like the biggest thing you've ever been through. And maybe at that point in time it is. Guess what? You're going to get it behind you and something else will come up and you'll get that behind you too. I remember the days where I thought what I was really worked up over was really a big deal. I look back at those things and I think, God, give me little problems like that. We can get through them. I remember in the back of this church was leaking and it was flooded and everything else and I thought that was going to do me in. Look here. It didn't. We just got all the back remodeled because of it. But in that moment, it seemed big. In this moment, you may be going through something and it may seem big. Guess what? It's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. Get your heart in check. If your heart's troubled, tell it to stop being troubled as much as you can, as much as you can fight that. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. What does this look like in real life? Looks like this. When that thing comes knocking at your door, and you're having a struggle, a battle, an expectation that wasn't met. I don't know about y'all, but most of my expectations that aren't met have had to do with people, right? You know why that is, Bobby? They fall short. They're just people. They're flawed. And most importantly, we can't control them. You ever get, how many of you people have got grown kids, you've ever been aggravated as heck at your grown kids? Dad, you best raise your hand because I know. Look here. Us girls have aggravated them too so much. I often think, I wouldn't want to be them too. I was telling my sister Casey a while back, I said, Casey, we're going to have to be better to mom and dad. We're going to have to realize how much this sucks to be our parents because we've not been easy on them. I said, we're going to have to cut them a little break. But you know what? All you people out there that's got grown kids, I don't yet, and I'm glad because I'm not mature enough for that yet. Because I think the devil's trying to get me to have a prison ministry, and God's trying to keep me in the church house. He's going to let me enjoy my babies until they get to that age where I've matured and I can have grown kids. But one of the things that grieves people so much is their grown children. And it's because you can't control them. You can't make them do right. You can't make them learn those lessons that they need to learn. You can't control them. And I just want to let you know that God's got your grown kids. And He'd like you to enjoy your life. He'd like you to enjoy your life. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with your grown kids. He's the only one that can. And here's what I know. And my family's not going to be upset about this because our life has been an open book for my whole life. But I can tell you this. From a grown kid standpoint, I haven't lived the other part of this yet, but from the grown kid standpoint, when I've disappointed my parents the most, and I could tell they were grieved, I was grieved that I grieved them. And there was a part of me that was so grieved and so ashamed at the same time that it made me not even want to be around them. Now that's what the devil will do to your family. He'll get you mad at the people that you love the most. He'll get you mad at the people that could help you the most. I'm going to ask everybody that's got a grown kid, stick in there. It ain't over yet. It ain't over. It ain't over till we're doing a funeral. That's when it's over. But God will get you grown kids, and He'll get them in a way that they'll give them their life. They'll give God their life and all of their choices. See, that's something you can't make another person do. Manage your expectations of people. Manage the expectations of your loved ones. How many of you ever had a grown kid won't speak to you? We've had those moments. I'm not going to lie to you. Is anybody shocked me and Dad's ever got into it? We're just alike. Let me tell you something. Me and this man, we have got into knockdown dragouts. But I can tell you this, he is my ride or die. He has stood up there with me behind this pulpit when I had to say the hardest thing in my entire life, him and Sam. And I'll never forget it, and I'll never stop being grateful.
call it get over it.
Got to get over that expectation. I'm not saying you can't expect people to be good and expect them to be what they were raised. But you know what? Sometimes your grown kids, they just feel so dang bad that they haven't lived up to what you thought they should be. Yeah. There's something in them just makes them not even want to be around you because they just feel like a disappointment. Manage that. Because look here, life is too short. Life is short. Life is short. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're still talking about our heart. We're talking about expectations in our life. Therefore, we do not lose heart. So we've talked about taking heart. We've talking about not letting our heart be troubled. Third verse about your heart. Don't lose it. Do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. Y'all say momentary. Momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Look here. Manage your expectations. Manage your expectations. Don't expect everybody to be you. Don't expect people to handle things how you would have handled them. They're not going to. They're people. What you're going through with those people, those are light and momentary troubles. They're going to come and they're going to go. And what you've got to manage in that situation is your expectation, because you're either going to walk around whole or you're going to walk around broken. And if you're always expecting something out of people that they can't live up to, you're going to be upset all the time. How can I preach about that? Because I've lived a lot of years upset. First 2 years of my pastorship, upset all the time, Rita. Why? Because I had unrealistic expectations. That's why. That'll eat a pastor up more than anything else, is expectations. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. So you don't need to fix your eyes on people. Get your attention off of them. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. See, if you could see the moment that your grown kid really gives their life to God, if you could see the moments that that person you're disappointed in, if you could really see what they've gone through, you'd have a better understanding. See, we don't know everything about everybody. We like to judge people and not even have half of the facts of what's really going on with them. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You don't know the way that God is ministering to people. Don't let the devil get in there and get you frustrated with them and you're disappointed and want to give them the silent treatment and be done with them and drop them. You can't really see what's going on. Expectations of ourselves. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 90. We're going to look at verse 12. There's only one life that you're living, so live it fully and live it well. We're all good at soaking in victory, but how do you soak in failure when you have it? I remember one night in a Celebrate Recovery meeting, my dad said something and I wrote it down because it was really, really on point. He said, you need to learn how to handle success. Guess what? You need to learn how to handle failure. Sometimes we've had a failure in our life or a mistake, and because we did not expect that out of ourselves, because something happened in our own life that we did not expect, we feel less than or not good enough, or unqualified, God says you're enough. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Here's what I know, Miss Rocky. On my best days, I ain't got time to be feeling sorry for myself. I ain't got time to sit there and nurse that wound from an unrealistic expectation. Amen? Stuff happens. I remember almost 2 years ago, 3 days before Christmas, taking Dad up to the hospital. All my life, I thought nothing could ever go wrong with my family. We've served God all our lives. We've given our lives up for people all of our lives. This one over here has been healed of cancer. You know, we never thought about blaming God for that. Did we?
No.
But I didn't expect it. When I heard the C word, something hit me so deep, and I had to really get a hold of myself. I know she did. Sitting up there, and I said, God, what do you want me to do? I've got all these senior citizens. We're giving them meals. We're giving them 300 boxes. We're doing all this stuff. I'd just like to do none of it and go up there and sit and be with my dad. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what God told me, Keisha? Don't you dare do that. You get up there and your dad will grab you plumb up one end and down the other. Your daddy'd want you to do the ministry. That's how it's always been. You go give them boxes to those older folks. You go to the nursing home. You do that because I'm going to go to him. Look here. None of us are untouchable. We walk by faith. Amen. When stuff unexpected happens, don't let it stop you. You keep going. You keep going in your life.
Hallelujah.
Teach us to number our days. You only have so many days on this planet. You only have so many. It may be a lot, or it may not be. But your days are numbered. Don't give any of your days over to disappointment anymore. Upset over what didn't happen right in your youth. Upset over how somebody did you wrong. Can't afford to do that. Can't afford to do that mentally. Last place for me this morning. Psalms chapter 62, verse 5 through 8 in the King James Version. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Don't wait on people. For my expectation is from Him, is from God. Look here. Let God define your expectations. Let God define your expectations. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Look here. Disappointment and irritation and aggravation and anger, it'll move you. It'll move you to be somebody that you don't want to be. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. I had a very difficult time getting this message last night because it hit home with me a lot. And I don't know if you're somebody that you say, you know what, I have trouble managing my expectations, and at times they manage me. And I lose time in disappointments and irritations. If you need help this morning, by God, to manage your expectations a little better, I'm going to ask you to stand, because look here, God doesn't want you upset all the time and irritated with people. You can't help anybody when you're irritated. Can't help anybody when you're irritated. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for every person, God, that's heard this word. Lord, I ask that you would help all of us, God, as we deal with our families, as we deal with our loved ones, as we deal with our enemies, as we deal with people on the job. God, I ask that you'd help us manage these expectations. God, for the brokenness that's in our life because of unrealistic expectations, God, I ask that you'd mend us up in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you today, we give you the rest of us, and we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.